The Book of Psalms, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Amen, amen. God bless. This is Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'd like to welcome you, those of you listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. I'd like to welcome you. And if you got this link on your phone, we sent you the link. I text you the link on your phone. I thank God. Thank you for taking time out and listening to the broadcast and the show today. Hope something will be said today to encourage you in your walk, encourage you in your faith, encourage you to lead in the home, in the church, and in the community, and help you fulfill the purpose and plan that God had for you when he drew you into the faith of Jesus Christ, that you would be a man of God who would stand and be an example and lead and guide and direct. Well, we're going to open with prayer. We're going to get right into conversation. Tonight I got a guest. My guest, Deacon Anthony, is here with me tonight. My brother took some time out and joined us. So we're going to be talking about spiritual growth. We're going to be talking a little bit about discipleship. And to speak again, to encourage the brethren that are listening to where we are in our faith, where we are in our Christian walk, and are we fulfilling the purpose that God has created us for and why he saved us. You know, something we talked about here a lot, that we are, where are you? Every man has to look at himself, look in the mirror, search his heart and his mind. Where are you in your spiritual growth? And the second part of that is, are you being discipled? Are you discipling? Are you serving God? Where are you at? How are you being the church? Because we all will stand before him, and he'll either go, well done, my good and faithful servant, or depart from me, I never knew you. And we're going to talk about some of that today, again, to encourage you, to encourage the body of Christ, to where we are and what we can do. You know, a pastor told me a long time ago, you know, God is God, and he has a purpose for every member of the body. We just have to be willing to submit ourselves, to be encouraged, to get past our comfort zone sometimes, get past, I know what we think is normal church worship and what it means to be the church, because some of us may have to redefine that. But again, this is where we have to go into the Word, study for ourselves, and then be led by the Holy Spirit on what God would have us to do. Just being saved and sitting in the pew and punching your spiritual time clock every Sunday for 2 hours is not why Christ died on the church. Because if the original 12 apostles would have done that, you and I would not have heard the gospel and now have our eternal destiny and hope in Christ to spend it in eternity with God the Father in heaven. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, I just say thank you right now, Lord God. Father, I thank you right now for delivering us, oh God, for deliverance of my brothers out there from the sins, from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, Lord God. I thank you for purging us, God. Thank you for washing and clean, God. And Father, for those that are still out there, God, in the midst who are spiritually blind, I ask today will be the day of their eyes will be open, that someone, one of your ambassadors, one of your called out ones would speak a word that would give life to someone, give eternal life, that the gospel message would go forth unto the lost and dying world. Father, I ask today, O God, that you continue to work on us as the church, cleanse us, renew us, transform our minds, O God. Fill our minds with the things that are true, that are honorable, that are pure. God, we ask, O God, today we just purge us, O God. Purge us, use us, teach us to be humble. God, that we can live a life that are glorifying to you, that we can walk in the Spirit, that the church would be manifest, that you would be glorified, and that the kingdom would be advanced. Father, we lift up the prayer today for leadership, from the president all the way down to our pastors, elders, deacons, the mayors, the city councilmen, the police chiefs, the educational system, the teachers, the principals, those in authority, God. We ask to give them wisdom and direction in these times of testing, oh God. Father, we pray for the children as we begin to go open the schools back up for this last quarter or last semester. God, we pray, there's so much going on here in America. God, we ask your grace, your favor, and your mercy. And, Father, all out through the world, oh, God, the churches are being challenged. People's lives are being changed and transformed. But today we know that you are in control, so we thank you, God. We thank you, God, right now that we can hear you, that I can pray this prayer, and that those that are listening can hear this prayer 1 year after a pandemic and a virus is spread across all the world and touched a lot of lives. But yet we are still here 1 year later, and we thank you for that. So, Father, we won't take that for granted either, Lord God, because that is a plan and a purpose. Some did, some made it, some didn't make it. So, God, as men of faith, God, today, open our eyes, open our hearts. Let us hear from your Spirit speak to us, stir up the Spirit within us, that we would know what you saved us for, what you delivered us for, and why we are still here to do your will in the earth. So, Father, we just say thank you right now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen. Well, Deacon Anthony, can you hear me, sir? How are you?
Hey, praise the Lord, Deacon. How are you, sir?
Excellent, excellent. Good to hear your voice again, brother. I pray everything is well with you. How you doing?
Good, good, good. God is good.
Amen, amen, amen. So, bro, we made it a year, man. It's this time last year. We made it. So, you know, some folk didn't. Some of it, and even in the midst of that, you know, I just want to say, because those who don't know, that me and my family was affected by the virus. I know some other folk who were affected by the virus, but yet we're still here. Even in some, I also know we lost some that passed away from the virus. So it's a bittersweet. But I do know those who left this temple realm with the virus, but knew Christ, we will see them again. Amen?
Amen.
And I would encourage anybody out there who's lost a family member or someone close to them, if they were Christians, if they were believers in Jesus Christ, if they believed, you will see them again. Amen? And they are in the presence of God. Be assured that this is what the Bible teaches, this is what Scripture teaches, and that's who we are in Christ Jesus, that we're secure in our eternal destiny. I just want to say that and encourage the group out there. Amen?
Amen.
All right, bro. Well, tonight, bro, we're going to go in. We're going to go in a little bit because we just want to encourage the brothers. And I do want to just encourage you to now, every man, you know, first of all, let's talk about spiritual growth. Let's start slow. Let's start slow. How important, how do you say, sir, the importance of what is to grow spiritually. Let's start there. The growing spiritually and what God has called us to do. Because, again, you know, if we are called to be born again, anything that is born is to grow. Again, if our children are born, we, you know, for the fathers out there, even for ourselves, if we're here today, this very day, what is this today? Today is the 11th of March, 2020. At some of us were born the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, and hopefully we're not who we were 10, 15, 30, 25, 50 years ago because we've grown. So with that, when it comes to our spiritual growth, no matter how long it's been since you have confessed Christ or became a believer, we all have to examine ourselves and check ourselves. But I just want to say, how important is spiritual growth in a Christian life, bro? What do you say?
Amen. Well, the first thing, the first part about that is growing. You got to make sure that something there is planted. And then you got to make sure that you're being watered and, you know, you're being encouraged and that you're hearing the things of God in order to grow in Christ. Just as you mentioned about being, you know, born again and just being a newborn. A lot of newborns are out there, but they haven't came to get fed so that they can grow. Some people don't want to even take the milk of the word to be able to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I would say for the first part, you got to make sure that, you know, when a seed is planted, you got to actually have somebody where you can study the word, where you can hear the word. You got to have a fellowship. You can't be saved and then go back out and be around the people that you were trying to get away from. And I learned that the hard way, man. Just out of my own life. One of the things that happened to me is, I mean, once I got saved, the problems didn't stop. And I think that's where the disconnect or the deception that the enemy tries to use. But he have us to, God has us in a place where we are saved. The seed of salvation was planted on the inside of us when we believed in Jesus Christ. And that because we have faith in him and we believe in his birth, his death, his burial and resurrection, we believe that and we are saved because of that, because of what God did for us. We have to understand that we're not saved because of what we did for him. We are saved by what he did for us. So because that's planted on the inside, from that point you need to be taught righteousness. You need to be taught what is pleasing to God. You need to be taught what is faith and what is faith with works and without works is dead. And what are the works of faith? So it comes to a point where we have to get out of the, you know, the whole cliche and the whole, you know, routine of just going to church, but what you're getting out of it so that you can grow. And, you know, to be honest, I mean, we do have a lot of Christian babies or believers who are still babies. Even though they've been in the Word or they've been to church multiple times and they always come for, you know, Easter, Mother's Day, et cetera, they still haven't got to the point where they want to hear the Word repeatedly so they can go from one position to the next position. And then that understanding of who God is in your life and where you are currently and what you need to fulfill for his purpose. You know, one of the things that me and one of my brothers was talking about is, a lot of the word that goes forth, it doesn't teach with purpose. It's a thing where, you know, it's only manifested when we go through something that we have to pray. We feel like only praying when we go through something as a newborn again believer is that's my only time when I talk to God when I'm going through something or when I need him for something or, you know, because everybody else is praying in the church and I might as well go ahead and get this opportunity to pray. But what you have to understand in your growth, you're going to need to pray so that you can stand, so that you can be faithful to the ministry, and so that you can be faithful to God's word. It takes prayer, and it also takes a self-denying thing. You know, a lot of things traditionally what we've done is we have actually, and I don't want to say we, but the church has been corrupted in a lot of ways because they bring worldly traditions into the ministry. And the thing is that at this point, you kind of have to try to guess or have a person confess that they are believers because we don't know the difference now. And because of those traditions and the way that God wants us to live and the way that God requires us to, you know, serve him, we don't actually investigate that or learn that behavior either by, you know, not assembling ourselves together. You know, so we know that it's pleasing to God for us to be together to encourage one another in faith. But if we don't actually get to a point where we want to learn and actually learn from God and hear from God on a continual basis and, you know, read the word, study the word, you know, and pray and actually commune with God, we will be in the same position because, I mean, that seed is planted. Yes, you're saved. But there is no growing process because you haven't actually done the work to actually progress in what God has put on the inside of you. So it takes a lot teaching. You know, I remember we was talking about discipleship, but a lot of people right now are just Christian believers. There is no growth. It's not like, you know, I want to go to the next level in my faith. I want to actually do what's pleasing to God. I want to get to know God. I want to understand, you know, what he has done for me, but they just do the outward things, which is the sinner's prayer and, you know, the baptism and, you know, going to give and doing work, But the thing is that it doesn't operate in my life until I learn of God. And now I want to be committed to what his word says. So, again, bro, it's just a thing where we have to get out of the mindset of once I'm saved, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with just the blood, you know. But see, when they pierced Jesus Christ in his side, out came blood and water. So I'm fine with the blood, but I'm not fine with the cleansing, which is what the water is to do, is to cleanse us, you know. So the thing is that unless we really understand and we really put ourselves in a position to where we are self-denying ourselves and we actually are in the ministry to learn of God, we'll be in a same state of mind, in a same state of being if we don't progress and push forward in the things of God to learn of him. What do you say about that, bro?
Bro, you know what? You touched on a whole lot of stuff. We're gonna come back around because we're gonna break this thing down. Because you know, but this is, I think some of us, I think, put it this way. I'll first let me say this to be clear and be transparent. The spiritual growth piece was a thing that I think we all have gone through. I've been through it. I know because I know you and your testimony, and I've heard it from other men. We all go through the growth process because it is a process. It's just like when we were naturally born and we grew up in school and some of us had, you know, some of us were good students in elementary school and some of us were blossomed in middle school, some of us blossomed in high school. Not everybody went to college. I mean, it's the same kind of thing. And then when it comes to our emotional maturity and our physical maturity and our mental maturity, it's all the same. But our spiritual maturity, are we doing those things that's going to help us grow spiritually? And some of the things you touched about, they're getting connected. You know, I don't know. I hear men say a lot of different things about going to church. I hear a lot of people talk about the reasons they don't go, men and women, but I want to focus on the brothers right now, because if you go, because if a husband and a father attends a church, their family will follow. And if a man of God comes under the word of God, it'll be you can lead your family in the right way and deal with all the challenges that are coming. Let me say that. It doesn't matter who you marry. It doesn't matter who your kids are. If you are rooted and grounded in the word and being led by the Holy Spirit, you can be able to deal with all the circumstances. Let me put that out there. But you have to be connected. But if you're not connected, your wife, your children are not going to be connected. And for the brothers out there who, you know, your wife goes and you don't go or whatever, I learned, somebody said this to me. This was said in the men's group, so I'm going to say it here because this is Issues Christian Talk, and we talk to men, we talking to husbands, talking to fathers. Why do we think it's okay for you to let your wife go hang out a couple hours a week with another man, and he's teaching and sowing into her life, and you don't know what she's hearing? Now, in the world, you wouldn't want somebody hanging around your wife like that on a regular basis. You don't know what's going on, but you think church is a safe place. I'm going to leave that right there. Amen. So, again, as husbands and fathers, we have to be able to get connected. We have to be able to want to grow and be and to submit ourselves to be nurtured in the things of God, and to grow, because we don't all get it, we don't all grow at the same time, but we have to be consistent in our getting, well, in our pursuing the things of God. And when we talk about spiritual growth, there's going to be some manifest things going on. Our lives are going to change. We're going to think differently. We're going to become more like Christ. We're going to move away from evil and sinful behaviors and sinful thinking and sinful choices. Because as we mature, we'll be able to distinguish what is good and what is evil. You know, some things are going to be pruned off our lives, and you'll be able to see that. But then the real part that you touched on, I want to come back to, is application. And I think the only way we can learn to apply it is just like anything else. We have to really be around people who have applied it and can help us learn how to apply it, or be able to take the scripture and learn how to understand the scripture and know how to live it out, to live that thing out. And that's where the discipleship piece comes in, because I want to hang around somebody who's been through some things, not that going through some things, but who's been through some things that can help pull us along. And I think, and then for the men out there, I don't know what hinders us, what stops us from wanting to make those connections when it comes to Jesus Christ and being around believers and being around faithful believers and being submitting ourselves to mature believers, you know, and then wanting to be a mature believer, because again, we have a responsibility to be the leader in our homes for our wives and for our children, you know. So let me ask you this, bro. And when we and it comes to spiritual growth, you know, what? Tell me, what do you think that it? Some what? Let me say this. I'm sorry. Give me some examples of what we can look for ourselves from your experience or what we know as Scripture teaches. What does it look like? If I'm talking to a brother and he asks me, what is growth? What does it look like? Where should I be? What is my standard? What would you say to him, brother?
Well, the thing is that you have to, in order to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you got to be able to know who Jesus Christ is, and model his character and faith. So the first thing I would point him to is knowing what the gospel is. You know, a lot of people that want changes in their life. They want to grow spiritually, but they may not understand or know the gospel, you know, because how can you submit to something that you don't understand? It doesn't make sense. It's like, how can I actually apply the teachings and the learning of Jesus Christ if I don't even understand what he did? You know, if I don't understand, I can't submit to something that I don't understand. Now, when you study the word, the first thing you have to have is an under shepherd. And I know you have to be connected, like you said. You got to be connected some way, where somebody can actually teach you. Because just as a person is a babe in Christ, and just as I was, you know, it was frustrating trying to live right without somebody teaching me as a babe, you know. I got saved without instructions. I got saved and I didn't understand what changes were made. And I fell into this thing where I thought and I really truly believed, but I had no application. You know, I believed that you know, Jesus Christ was real. He existed. He died for me, for my sins. But the thing is that at that point, that's it. I just came, did the sinner's prayer, and then left out of there in the same condition that I came in. So it was not a change in my character or the things that I was practicing, but it was just a change in my heart that I, like, yeah, I really do believe this thing, but I don't know where to go from here. You know, nobody actually, you know, I wasn't connected to anybody to teach me the things of Christ or to actually give me an avenue on where to go to search the scriptures, so that I can learn of Jesus Christ and then live to please God. So the first step is to get connected to somebody to learn what it says in his word. We know the salvation piece, but do we understand why he died for sinners Amen. Like us? I mean, you know, do we really understand why, the whys? And that was the question. Like, after I was saved, I didn't get the answers as to why. Because I used to think like this, and this was a big question. And because, you know, we being transparent, this was my question. I didn't have all the answers, but I had a whole lot of questions. So my question was, when I got saved, my biggest question was, okay, God is all-knowing and all-powerful. Why would he allow this world to be like this? And me to be born into a sinful place? And why am I born into something that I have a decision or I didn't have an opportunity to make the same choice that Adam had. Why was that so important, and why do I have to suffer for what one person did? You know? So that was my biggest question, because I'm a dude from the streets, and I'm like, I don't like paying and going to, like, I was like, okay, think about it like this. Do you really want to go to prison for somebody else? You know? Do you be condemned?
Amen.
For something that somebody else did? You know, do I, like, you know, my boys and, you know, we hang out and we like, yeah, if we doing some dirt together, okay. I don't mind saying, you know, okay, I'm going to take the hit because I was there with you. But if I wasn't nowhere to be found and they just picked me up at my house, I don't think I should be going to jail for nobody.
Yeah, you bet. Okay, bro.
I mean, that was my thinking pattern. I'm like,
yes,
so,
sir.
Okay, Adam did this. You need to deal with Adam. You don't need to deal with me.
Mm.
I had nothing to do with what Adam did. Those was my questions.
Well, yeah. Well, let me I want to jump in real quick. Hold that thought. You know, first of all, gentlemen, this is Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'm here with Deacon Anthony, and we're talking about spiritual growth, and we're going to be talking about discipleship on the other half of the show. But it's something you said about the sinner's prayer that brings back to my remembrance something that I looked up. You know, historically, what we do now in the church when it comes to salvation and people coming down in the sinner's prayer, that's a new thing. That's a 20th century thing. Because I did some study and some research, and I found out that, you know, I'll say in the early 1900s or 1800s, what it was you had to stay after the service and be taught to understand what it meant to recite the sinner's prayer. Not that you heard that sermon that Sunday, but there was a process. That afterwards, you know, they would do the altar call, but then they would go, and there'd be a teaching, like an hour long teaching. I read in some churches, in some places, that they made sure they answered your questions. That was one, because when you said that stood out in my mind. I remember they would answer the new convert's questions or the person would come down, and then they would give them the gospel, spoon feed it to them, so they would understand what it meant to give their life to Christ now and understand and answer all their questions. And when you said that, and, you know, a lot of us, if we're honest and we think back, a lot of us, I think, was in the same place you were. And like I said, too, I had a lot of questions. But, you know, the way we do it now, I think we have to really look at what we're doing and see if we're dealing with a lot of emotion. Let me say it like this, because I could hear a sermon that wasn't necessarily the gospel. It might have been a teaching of a chapter, a passage. You understand what I'm saying? It could have been a teaching, but it may not have been an explanation of the gospel. And then we want people to come forward. And then and where's the follow up is? And I think we slipped into that, because I think a lot of that came because as I look back, because I remember how Billy Graham was the man. He used to go and he'd get hold. So, you know, a lot of churches do it. When they have these evangelistic revivals and things, they do it that way. But like you said, what are people coming forward for? You know what I'm saying? And do they really understand the gospel? But then we let them go out and they just go back to a life. But you understand? That's why I just want to say that to those that are listening. Remember, when did you really understand what you're giving your life to? Now, as you mature, you might get it now, because I look back on my life, it was, you know, from the time when I did the sinner's prayer to come and understand some things about God and what God's expectation for the believer was, is just not being saved and just go out here and you save and walk around. Because that's not, that's not it. But, yeah, I just wanted to interject that for the brothers out there. The way it's done now, in a lot of places, in a lot of churches, what we see the norm is not the way the church historically used to do it. I'll say this. That's a new thing. I think it was like the 1800s, 1900s, when they that easy, well, some people call it easy salvation. And it wasn't like that before. And when you said about all the questions I had after the sinner's prayer, and, you know, were we scooped up and discipled and But we, but you know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to put that out there for the brethren out there to think about it. Just think about it. Because moving forward, we'll be held responsible for the souls that we encounter. And what are we doing even in the midst? But go ahead, bro. I just wanted to interject that into the conversation to put it in the hearing of those who are listening.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It was like, was the sermon that you heard purposed for your salvation? You know,
mm-hmm.
and that's, it's like, are you teaching for purpose? Because whenever the early church spoke, and when Peter spoke to them in Acts,
yes,
they pricked in their hearts. See, so he was speaking something that got their attention in their hearts to make a change. You know, so he said something to them that was critical for their salvation. And they were pricked in their hearts, and they cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" So it's like, okay, if you use that example, is that what we're doing when we go out or when we encounter people? Are we speaking with purpose to convert you? Because the gospel of Jesus Christ was the most important thing. And the reason why Paul was writing to the churches is so that they can live right amongst men who they may convert, because they're living out the gospel. They're not living out the Ten Commandments. You know, they're not living out, I'm not doing wrong today, but I might do wrong tomorrow. They're not living on those things. They were actually living the gospel, and it was important for them to live the gospel of what they received. They gave their life for it. Did you give your life for righteousness? You know, did you give your life to Jesus Christ because you want to be righteous? And so that's the thing about understanding the gospel. And again, you touched on it, you know, even though God did answer that question, by the way. I'll share it as well.
Okay, good, anyway, good. I was going to make sure, bro, before tonight was over, that you knew those answers, because, you know, I don't want to leave you out there, bro. I care about you.
I'll answer that question because God, you know, and I'll answer it now. So I don't like to throw stuff out, be like, yeah, I had a question, but ain't nobody answered. Nah. So the Holy Spirit was letting me know that, you know, the covenant with Jesus Christ, you have to understand the thing about loving God out of the will, that rather than him programming you to love him. The love essentially has to be real. And the only way that God understands that is through our obedience. Okay? If we act on what he said, we show that we love him and we believe him. So the thing was is that Adam had a covenant with God first before his wife. Okay? He had a covenant with God. And God's expectation was Adam to love God out of his will, meaning out of his own choice to love him. Now, if God actually programmed us like we programmed our computers and we program our cell phones, if my cell phone told me that it loved me every day, would I really believe it? I mean, I wouldn't even really care. There's no choice behind the thing, but I love my wife because she had a choice not to love me. You see, so God essentially wants the same thing. And he uses that as obedience. His love is genuine and it's always eternal love, because that's all he is love. However, because we have free will on the inside of us, he wants us to take our free will to love him and to serve him out of the will, instead of using our will to abuse ourselves in sin. So it was a thing where God gave Adam so many things. And if you really look at what God created for Adam to have dominion over, you'll understand, like, man, why wouldn't he be thankful for just that? And why did doubt or deception come into Eve's mind in order to use Eve to deceive Adam? Okay? Now, the thing was is that Eve wanted something that she really already had. He got her to the, you know, to basically doubt herself. But that's, you know, that if you really read Genesis, it actually gives you basically a picture of what the enemy uses all the time. For, you know, you have to know your enemy in order to fight him spiritually. If you don't know the enemy, you can't actually counterattack when things happen. So he uses the same tricks, deception. He kill, steal, and destroy. That's what he does. But he uses those things in a deceptive way in order to catch you and get your attention. And so there's a thing that they got out there now, which is, it's called the, it's crazy. I look at so much stuff in order to study, not only just to know what time period we're in, but also to try to equip my children of things that they may encounter so that the enemy can't have them, you know? So I try to stay, you know, current on a lot of things that's going on out there. But there's an interesting thing. It's called like the Luciferian thought process, okay? And basically it's like be your own God. Make your own decisions. Do what you want. You're your own God, you know. So do what you want, in other words. You know, you're in control. Do what you want. And that's the same deceptive thing that the enemy told Eve and Adam to deceive them if you need to really study that. So when God actually answered that question, it put me in a different state that I need to learn of him. Okay, I can't stay in just a ready state for temptation. I actually have to equip and prepare myself to walk this thing in truth. You know, I have to learn of God in order for me to not just grow, but I also have to be able to help somebody else to grow and to encourage somebody else even through my testimony. Because as we read in Revelations, it says they overcame him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So you're going to have to go through things in order to get a testimony. It didn't say that they overcame him with a whole bunch of scriptures. It didn't say that they overcame him became pastors. It didn't say they overcame him because they did a lot of good deeds. They followed the Ten Commandments. He said two things. They overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, which is what Jesus Christ has done for us, knowing and understanding the gospel, and by the word of our testimony, meaning that I'm not going back to separate myself from God, which is what Jesus Christ did for us. He is our advocate. He is the one Amen. Who did the work. And see, we need to understand that in order to grow, in order for that seed of, you know, encouragement to be, you know, put into action. You know, how can you show God that you love him? Well, going out and doing a whole lot of stuff is not going to get it. The way that we show God that we love him is to believe in him and obey him to serve him. But if we don't know what to believe, we out here Amen. Just hearing a whole things that sound like the gospel for actually following destruction. It sounds good, but it isn't really good. The end thereof is destruction. Just because a lot of pastors out here that are saying a whole lot of things, they got this love movement thing going on now, man. I'm telling you, it's crazy. It's basically saying just what we were talking about. When you go up to do the sinner's prayer, the thought process at that time is that I got Jesus. And now that I got Jesus, like as if you got him in your pocket, I could take Jesus mm-hmm. now on this sinful journey. That's the narrative. That is
Lord. Yeah.
That's okay. The Well, because I have Jesus Christ, I'm okay now. I can continue to sin and keep transgressing and live any kind of way I want because God loves me the way I am. And he, you know, because he loves me, you should love me. And this thing about that we serve the same God, that's what they, that is basically how people were trying to figure out, well, how is it going to be a one world religion? How is it going to be one world government? This is the foundation that they actually are going off of, which is why a lot of the gospel looks the same as a believer, but really they're actually wolves in sheep's clothing. It sounds like the gospel. Yeah, Jesus Christ mm-hmm. did save me. And save me to sin.
That's not what he did, that boat. You know what? You're right. And I think that comes, you know, that's where I think that we forget the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. But even with the power of the Holy Spirit and then also with Scripture, let me say this for every brother out there. You have to be in the Word. You have to want to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have to want to, as men, as human beings, as followers of Christ, you have to want to know more. Wherever we came in at or wherever wherever you started from, but we have to have a desire to know more of God, and I think that's where we struggle, and that spiritual maturity. Although we stay babes, because you know a babe, as you know, they're selfish. They're selfish. Well, let me say this: babies are selfish individuals. I don't know why people think they're so cute, but they're selfish. They want what they want. They attach to one person. If they don't get their way, they get cranky and they get fussy. And then, you know, and some of us are spiritual babes. We get fussy. And then we're connected to one person. I mean, it was something, let me say it like this. We're connected and we only want our milk a certain way from a certain person. That's immaturity. Because as a babe only wants their mother's milk, only wants their mother's presence, and wants all their mother's attention. But until they mature, they're able to function. As they grow into a more mature individual, where they learn to socialize and connect. They may have brothers and sisters, or even connect with you know what I'm saying. How we grow, and it's the same thing spiritually. And some folks stay in that baby stage because they can get they eat anything they want. You know, toddlers will put anything in their mouth if you ain't watching them. That 1 year old to 2 years old, 24 months. They will eat anything. And spiritually, that's where a lot of people are stuck at the toddler stage, because they'll eat and put anything in and take it in. And like you said, the wolves, the false teachers, and people teaching all kinds of stuff, but they'll take it in because they're still babes and they're not looking to mature and they're not looking and they're not seeking to grow. And I think that's where we don't want to be stuck at, and especially as men, as husbands and fathers, because, I say this at Issues Christian Men Talk all the time. Husbands and fathers, that word, it's not just a word. That's a title and that's a responsibility. You know, it's responsibility comes with that title. That title's just not given and thrown around. We worry about being called all kinds of other stuff in the church. But husband and father, just that responsibility, we have to, if we took that, what God calls us to be as husbands and fathers, that should want to make us grow right there. So when we talk about the spiritual growth, every man has to start to go to a place where you want to be more because you love God. And like you were saying, I want to come back to what you were saying. Our obedience is what God is seeking. God loves us. I understand that. You know, like you said, that love thing is being manipulated. So like you said, God loves me, so how can God that loves me send me to hell or cast me out? Or you know what I'm saying? And that's the deceitfulness of the gospel when we use love all the time without giving giving it some texture and what the love of God really is. Because if we understand the love that he gave, that he gave his son, Jesus Christ, he was born for a reason, the purpose of his birth, the purpose of his death, and the purpose of his resurrection. And this is what we, because you touched on that, we don't get to the deep understanding that what God is saying. And like you said, they use love and they manipulate it and they water it down and people's faith. And they people, like you say, people think they're saved and they are not, because they don't understand what the love of God truly is and what it looks like. They put a superficial love on it and then think that God loves me, so God is with me and I can go do this all this other stuff and get involved with a bunch of stuff and it's all okay, and it's not in the eyes of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Because, you know, like I said, it's important. It's important. And well, let me come back to you, bro. Because, you know, I just wanted to say that because I just wanted to brothers to hear and be encouraged. See where you are. Look in the mirror. See where you are. And now, hopefully, this will stir up something in you to grow in Christ, to grow in His knowledge, to be able to discern good and evil, and to grow in grace and establish yourself as a man of God. And because again, let me say this: we have the power within us to grow spiritually, to really press into the things and grow. This is what He's called to do. Again, I go back to all of our spiritual forefathers, all the way back to the apostles. You know, there's a process of growth that God can use us, and I think we forget that, we forget that there's a purpose for our lives, there's a purpose for our salvation, and we are to pursue and seek that purpose.
Amen.
Amen. So, but I'm sorry. But bro, I'm going to come back to you, and when we're talking about the importance of that growth thing, and be able to discern. Let's talk about that. Being able to discern, and how does that manifest itself in our growth? To be able to discern what's going on in these times, in these seasons. What do you say?
Well, discernment comes with a lot of things, you know, where. In Matthew, it says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. The thing is this. Discernment comes in when you hear the word of God and you know the word of God. Without knowing the word of God and now without hearing the word of God, anything sounds like the gospel. And when you're thirsty and hungry for something, anything will satisfy you spiritually. So even though it's false encouragement, the prosperity gospel is false encouragement, people gravitate to it because it feels and tastes so good because I'm thirsty. I'm at a desperate point. I feel like I want to hear from God and, you know, I'm going to turn this pastor on. I'm going to turn that one on. And they start encouraging you. You start feeling good and, you know, you start feeling good about this false narrative. Like, if you did this, God would do this for you. Wait a minute. Isn't Jesus Christ enough? Didn't He do enough? And that's the thing where that's the drive. That should be the drive for us as believers. If you really understand salvation and what you were saved from, you really have a drive to push forward or to stay safe. You know, I don't know anybody who escapes a burning building that want to go back into the building. You know, not a lot of people have that desire. And the thing is that if you are desperate, you can't discern anything that's not righteous because it sounds good. That's why it's so important to connect yourself with people and to actually be in a place where you can hear the gospel. And I encourage every man, you know, I know people may say, hey, I don't want to go to church and I don't want to, you know, I ain't really trying to get too involved in ministry. And, you know, I'll just come on Sundays and, you know, maybe a couple Bible studies here and there. But if you don't get to a place where you can hear the word being taught, you know, I really stress that, man, because as we talk about discipleship, you can't be a disciple not knowing nothing, you know. You got to be confident in the hope that's in you. You have to be ready to give an account. So if it's not important to you, how can it be so important to somebody else? If the gospel of Jesus Christ and what He done for you is not as important to you, you can't really be a disciple or evangelize to somebody because it's not going to come off that way, you know. If and here's the thing that I said a long time ago, and I think I got beat up on it a little bit. If you saved, you need to act saved. You need to act like somebody saved your life. You know, like if you saved, just act like somebody saved you. I mean, I know everybody, and I've witnessed people that was in a drowning state. Like, you know, they're in the water, they drowning. They didn't realize how deep it was. If somebody came with a lifeline and pulled them out, I guarantee you they'd be like so thankful and so appreciative of what took place. They're like, I won't do that no more. Oh, no. And
amen.
See, that's your
yes,
that's your victory. That is what you stand on. You know it was nobody but God who delivered you from what it is that you were going through. You know without a shadow of a doubt it was because of Jesus Christ that got you out. So then when somebody tries to slip something else in there, you could discern it because you're like, wait a minute. Not only is that not scripture, but that didn't work for me. And it don't look like it's working for you. You know, so discernment has a big role in the way of you got to be diligent. You got to keep pressing at this thing. You know, you got to keep pressing at this thing. You can never get to a point where the gospel, you know too much already. You're already good. You're good to go. You know, now you're the teacher's teacher. Or, you know, you done read so much scripture, God can't pull out a different revelation. You fully equipped. And then the enemy come in, and the next thing you know, you done backslid and did some other stuff that you'd have to repent for. But it's understanding the mercy of God and understanding what his word is and what his word says. And they got to be taught accurately. The Holy Spirit will teach you the things of God. And he will warn you and give you a way to escape. He will. I mean, you know, to realize that and to understand it when it's right there in front of you, it's a different experience than just a book telling you. You got to live this thing out. Like, it has to be a thing where I want to hear the word to live it. I don't want to hear the word just to hear it and make me feel good. I want it to cut. I want it to chastise. I want it to be rough. You know, I want that because I want to change. You have to have that desire in your heart that you want to please God and you want to encourage somebody and you want to uplift the brothers. And you don't like, you know, seeing the people that you grew up with, knowing that they're perishing and ready to go to hell. You want to live different. So you could discern what's outward. But a lot of times, if you don't hear God's word, you're not going to be able to discern spiritual things. And Jesus Christ said, he said that. How can you understand spiritual things if you can't understand natural things? You know, I'm meeting you where you are, and you looking at me like I'm speaking in riddles, as if you don't understand. You understand what I'm saying, but how are you going to be able to discern the spiritual things? Because you got to be in tune, and you got to actually take the word that you hear and apply it to your life. And it's funny when you said that what gospel did they hear? It wasn't the gospel, but it was a good sermon. And then your emotions get involved. See, it's like, okay, how am I saying amen to the promises of God, and I'm not one of his children yet?
Oh, my. Oh, my. There we go.
Think about it.
We hear something that's encouraging and feel good, but it don't apply to us. It don't apply to the sinner man. But you know, you won't hear that in the midst of a service. The things, because a preacher say, well, I'm preaching to the church and I'm preaching to, but if you are a non-believer, none of this applies to you. So you, without Christ, the things I'm getting ready to say, it ain't for you. But you're going to have an opportunity to understand Christ by the time we get done, because this is who God is and why Christ died and why these are the promises that God has made through Jesus Christ to those who believe. You know, if you don't believe, none of this stuff, I don't care how good it's going to sound, you know what I mean? It ain't for you, you know?
Right.
But, you know, we don't do church like that because, you know.
No disclosure.
We don't do it like that. We throw it out there, and it's sticking. And sometimes it sticks on people who it is not going to work for them. It's going to drop right off because they live in disobedient lives. But let me, you know, and that's what I think we have to understand too. We have to step back and understand that we are called to disciple people, like you said. If it ain't working for me, and I don't believe it enough for me to live it out. If I'm called to fulfill the Great Commission and to preach the gospel and disciple others, and I haven't taken it in, then again, we have to check ourselves. Because I can't tell you, I can't fit. Well, let me say this. the false teachers can. They can fake it very well. They can fake the knowledge. They can fake the intellectual, the theology. We can do all that. I mean, you can learn of God, and you probably could teach somebody about God. But do you believe God? And then are you living it out? Because I think that's the real part. And that's where being part of a church, for every man out there, every brother who doesn't attend the church for whatever bunch of reasons, trust me, I've heard them all. I heard all the excuses. I heard all of it. But for you not to be part of a church that you are amongst other believers, how are you? You're not really living out a Christian life. Because, again, it's about, because maturity is not about having your way. It's about being among like-thinking folk. And who's holding you accountable? Even not accountable by your actions or what you're doing, but who's holding you accountable to what you're learning and what you're taking in? Because, you know, our pastor, he was preaching one Sunday. He called out like five preachers that nobody should be listening to no more. But that's something else. It depends who's listening to this. But that's what's needed, because there are false teachers out there. There were false teachers out there with Peter and Paul were out there. There were Jews coming behind folk trying to tell them they had to do all the Jewish stuff to be saved, and that's not the gospel Paul and Peter took to them. But folk were running right behind Paul and Peter. As soon as they get out of town, they come rolling in and establish themselves as, you know, what were they called? I'm sorry. Judaizers. They came and said, we're Hebrews from Jerusalem. Paul and them said that, but you also got to do this. And it's the same thing today with false teachers, because we don't have that discernment. And we're not in a place where we're being protected. We're protected by numbers. So in discipling, you got to be discipled and to have that spiritual protection. Don't eat this. Don't eat that. I talked about it a minute ago about babes. Babes will put anything in their mouths. But as a mature saint of God, you know there's some stuff you're not going to eat and take in. You don't want to take a root in you. You don't want to get a virus, a stomach virus, or food. What is it, food poisoning? I don't want to get spiritual poisoning taking in some stuff. I'm sorry.
Amen.
But I think that's what, just to say that to encourage the brothers out there, because, again, this is what we call, I want to say it enough. I'm giving a comeback to you. We're going to shift into discipleship. But I can't say it enough for the brothers that are listening. We are called as men, husbands, and fathers. We are called to lead. We are called to lead in the homes, in the communities, and in the church to be examples and be watchmen on the wall. And we can only do that when we are submitted unto God. We understand and know how to apply His word. And then we are making disciples. And we're coming together in a body of in the church to encourage each other and then fulfill what God has a plan for us, a plan for the lives. Everything, like even in the church, the gathering of churches and groups together, there's a purpose that God has put these different people in the body to accomplish a thing. We may not know it. The pastor, he's given the vision for the pastor, because, again, we take a lot of things for granted. That's a whole other discussion about being part of a church, and we just take it for granted. But the vision for that man, it may not fit with what God is wanting for you. And then again, you'll have discernment to know that, because there's a place in the larger body of Christ where you need to be to fill a place. But that's another show and another discussion. But being a disciple, hunger and thirsting from righteousness, I think that's where it really starts. If we go back, that hunger and thirsting to be under and be discipled of Jesus Christ and learn of Him. It don't matter how long you've been in the church, it's always something to learn. We should never see ourselves as I accomplished something. Because I know people boast about reading the whole Bible all the way through, and I read it every year. But, are you growing every year in the simplicity of it all? You read the whole Bible in a year, but how are you treating your wife? How's your character? How far are you away from the original first sin? And what sins have you dropped off this year if you read through the Bible? Because apparently, the Bible is going to expose some. If you're reading the Bible like that, every year you see you being exposed to something new. That's something that may be separating you from God or that you need to repent from. I'm just saying. But let me, I'm going to come to you, bro. We're going to talk about discipleship. Becoming a disciple, are you a disciple? And are we, in importance of us being a disciple, being discipled, and discipling others? What do you say, sir?
Well, you know, it's good that you, you know, mentioned that because that's the next phase of all. Do you want to be used by God? You know, a lot of people may have a desire just to be, like I said, saved and satisfied. You know, I'm satisfied not going to hell. Okay. But are you satisfied not allowing your brother to go to hell? And discipleship has to come into a self-denying thing. Is it all about just you and your family? Is it all about just, you know, you and the people you know, grew up with? Is it a thing where God is more important and is a priority? You know, God has to be a priority. He has to be first. If God is not first, and I learned this in my own life, if I don't prioritize God as being first, then I can't have things, you know, always fall into play if I don't keep them there. See, the word says, if God be for me, who can be against me? Well, you got to understand, he has to be before you. But if he's not before you, then where is he? He can't just come after you. You know, so it's the thing about what priority is God in my life? And do I want to do the work that he's requiring of me? You know, it's a lot of people in an uncertainty state where God has have put a calling or placed a calling on their life, but they're uncertain because they don't want to stop doing some of the things that they do. And it's like God is calling you to greater and greater. He's pushing you to do great things for him, you know, and part of it is that, no, I just kind of just want to be and play the background and just want to do this. And the whole time, it's not that God wants you to do things in the building called church. I think that's where a lot of people get it confused. You could be used by God outside of the temple called church, but you have to study his word to be ready. You don't know who you're going to encounter. You don't know what they're going to ask. But at that particular time, if you're not rooted and grounded in God's word, then you'll miss that opportunity. And then that person would have to go seek it from somewhere else. But you may be the only person or the only person close enough to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they can be converted. Essentially, that should be our daily ideal, you know, is to be used by God so that people can be saved. You know, God says, I wish above all that men shouldn't perish. You know, he doesn't want people to perish, but have eternal life. You know, so if that's God's mission and that's what God wants, we should be in line with him. And, you know, I always use this thing as, you know, the church, us coming together is what God wants, to encourage one another, to hear the gospel, etc. But that's not where the only place that you can hear it or see it. And see, some people are deceived even by that much, because as much as they may say, okay, I want to go to church on, let's say, Easter, the people that are unbelievers, they come into church and they done seen somebody that they seen in the club. So you don't know what that did to that person who said, hey, I was thinking about being saved, but after me seeing that person, I ain't got to change at all. So it's a self-denial thing first. It's a denying of the self first. And then it's a studying of the word so that you can understand who God is and what his plan for your life would be. The most hurtful thing is if we didn't complete a mission that God set for us because of our own, you know, passions and you know, our own agendas and the things that we want to do. Hey, now that I'm saved, I feel so free. I just want to live my life and just wait for Jesus Christ to come and rapture me, or, you know, to pass away to be with him. That's all I really want. That's my, you know, overall desire. And then there's people around you perishing. And it's like, you know, for me, I feel bothered. You know, I feel bothered not knowing where a person is in Jesus Christ. I feel bothered because I don't know if they've heard the gospel. I feel bothered. And I don't know if it's my responsibility, but I do have that feeling that come over me sometimes and say, hey, you know, tell that person that you love them, or tell that person God bless you, you know, I'm praying for you, or something, you know, and then let God, let the Holy Spirit minister the gospel to them through you. Just be ready. Part of it is because our testimony is so strong of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And that's, I think that's the part where when people say discipleship, they think about what the apostles had to go through. You know, they think about, you know, all the persecution and, you know, the things that the foundation that they laid, or negativity comes to mind. But discipleship is basically the opposite of that. It actually is a joy to be a disciple of Jesus Christ because, you know, I've denied myself and I want God to actually use me to minister the gospel. What do you say about that, bro?
Yes, sir. You know, I agree. And all of that, again, it comes to how much do we love God and how much do we know what the call is, the calling on the purpose, our purpose, or the purpose of the church. And again, we get that from Scripture. We get that from what Scripture teaches about the church. And we get it from the Gospels, the Great Commission. That Great Commission was given for those who believe. And again, it's an individual thing. And for us to submit ourselves unto discipleship, to know that God loves us, and how much are we willing, because God loves us, and because of what God has done for us, and who Jesus Christ is, and that Christ sacrificed himself willingly, now how are we going to show our love for him? And that's what it comes down to when we talk about being discipled, we talk about growing in the faith, growing and knowing and coming to the knowledge, the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, because now we understand who he was, we understand the purpose of his birth, his death, and the resurrection, and we understand that he paid the price for us, and now what are we willing to do and serve in what he's called us to be, to live out the church, live out the gospel, to reach others, do what needs to be done. Like you said, being selfishness is a sin, and selfishness hinders the advancement of the gospel, because we worry about what we want and what makes us feel comfortable. Again, and I talk about babes. Babes want what they want when they want it. Anybody who's had kids and that, you know, babies, they cry. When they're crying, they want something. They need a pamper change. They want to eat. They want to be picked up. That's all selfishness. And for us to be mature men of God, selfishness is one of the things that we have to get rid of. And, bro, and you mentioned it a couple of times, bro. It's about, am I satisfied? Us being individually satisfied about our faith and we don't have to do anything else, that's selfishness. Because apparently we don't love people around us enough to sow into their lives and disciple and to tell them the gospel. And let me say, I want to say this about discipleship also. It's not necessarily a program. It's how we live and how we engage people for the things of God and for Jesus Christ. If we're discipling someone, we're just speaking it into their lives, into their circumstances. It doesn't have to be every Wednesday at 2 o'clock for an hour and a half and have a group, small group and all that. I mean, all those things are fine because that's part of it. But there's also, we have to deliver and be living epistles. We have to be light. We have to be salt and light. There's so much in Scripture that says who we are to be, that we have to be able to reach brothers and men, brothers, husbands, fathers, sons, wives, those around us with this gospel and disciple. Because remember, the primary goal of Jesus Christ has always been, and still is to this day, is to sanctify all people, all nations, all groups, you know, bring people in salvation from sin, save them, you know, save them from a destiny, from the penalty of sin and from death and hell. I'm sorry, but you know, it's just I think we have to remember again who Jesus was, why he was born, why he died, and what it means in his resurrection. And then we have to take that thing in turn and understand that the price was paid for us. And if, and again, and us being disciples helps us to study and to learn and being submitted to the Holy Spirit so that now we understand that. We got to be rooted and grounded. Again, we have to know what we believe and why we believe it, and then take this to a lost and dying world. To those around us, we live different. We're willing to sacrifice. We'll sacrifice a lot of things because, you know, I've learned over the years that I don't do some things that I might could do, but we abstain from some things because we want to be an example to others. You know, because like right now the culture is twisted. You know, but you know, because again, the church in the past has listed a whole bunch of things that were sin, that were not necessarily sinful, because remember, we have to remember, sin is disobedient to God. But the church back in the day gave a lot of lists of do's and don'ts and thought that was helping people be saved, and it wasn't, because again, they didn't have the foundation of the gospel and the passion and the love of God to obey His commandments. And know what His commandments are. We can't obey something that we don't know. And when I say commandments, I don't mean the 12. I mean the commandments that Christ has given and what He taught when He was on earth and what Paul and Peter wrote in the letters in the New Testament on how we should live and gave those examples. Because, again, we have to understand, Paul and Peter, especially Paul, Paul wrote to churches that he planted and shared the gospel with. He wrote to them to correct the things they were doing wrong. If you go in and study the letters that Paul wrote, he had to write those letters because those people were drifting off course from what he taught and the gospel he shared with them, and he was trying to pull them back and correct them. So we need to see Scripture sometime as to keep us on course or what we're doing as a body of believers and also as individuals. Amen. Amen. This has been Deacon Farr and Deacon Anthony, and this has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. And hopefully something was said today that would encourage you and strengthen you to just to want to pursue spiritual growth, get in a place where you're being discipled, and being in a place in your maturity that you're discipling others. And understand, I'll say this. I'm going to come to you, bro. But I just want to say this. Remember, we want to be disciples of Christ, not of man. That might get us a little bit in trouble here right now. But remember, we are called to be disciples of Christ, not disciple of a man who is going to stand before God and be judged on his own life and his own sins and his own shortcomings unless he repents and ask forgiveness. But we are called to be disciples of Christ, and the only way we can do that is to learn more of Him, and we learn more of Him is through His Word, through the reading, understanding, and discerning of His Word, and by the Holy Spirit living within us. Because remember, every believer at conversion, at the time when you come to faith, God has put everything you need inside you through His Spirit. It's living within us. Amen. Bro, I'm going to let you give your closing, any closing remarks, anything you want to share with the audience. Also, if you received this on your phone, you received the link on your phone, hopefully something was heard to encourage you and that you would share with another brother. And just let it marinate, let it meditate on it. And again, the whole reason we're here is not that we stand on a pedestal, because we don't have it all together, but we are still striving to be pleasing to God, because every day is a new opportunity to do better, to draw closer to Him, and to grow in our obedience to Him. Bro, what do you got to say? You got the last word, and then close us out in prayer.
Amen, amen. I will encourage every man, number one, to get connected. Get connected to somebody that you can, you know, pray with and can encourage you and hold you accountable. You know, it's a thing where you can't do this alone. For anybody to say or think that they are okay and they're cool, hey, trust me, if you getting jumped by somebody like that's your enemy, trust me, you're going to want somebody else to jump in and help. So I encourage every man to get connected Also, I encourage every man to get back to prayer, get back to being in commune with God in prayer, and not to pray just to ask for anything, but to pray for someone else and to pray that God, that you could keep him first. That's a daily thing. It's a struggle sometimes because we can get caught up in our own individual lives. So I definitely say get connected and stay in prayer. So I'll close us out. Bro, thank you for having me. Thank God for you. I love you. Thank you for being a friend. I just thank God for the ministry that he put on your heart and allow me to be a part of. So with that being said, I pray that it was a blessing for anybody who ever heard. It was encouraging for me. And I thank God for it. I thank God for this opportunity. I thank him for this life and for his keeping, pal. We did make it another year, you know, through the pandemic, et cetera. So God is a keeper. And, you know, he kept our families, et cetera. And I thank God. And for anybody who's listening, we're going to pray for anybody that is going through anything. We're going to keep them in prayer. And, hey, you know, reach out. Continue to listen to the show. I'm always encouraged and blessed. Amen. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, I thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for life itself. Thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace towards us, Lord God. Forgive us for the things that we take for granted. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We pray that it was a blessing to somebody, Father, wherever somebody may have been, Father, in their lives. We pray, Father, that the radio show actually touched somebody and that they can actually share it with somebody else, Father, that may be going through something. So we thank you for this platform. We thank you for this opportunity. Continue to encourage us, Father, and purge us of the things that are not like you. Help us to walk in your ways, Father, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And we ask you, Father, if there's anything that's in us that is not like us or anything that we have done, we ask you, Father, for forgiveness. We want to repent, Father, and come back to you. If there's anybody tonight, Father, that's going through any illnesses or sicknesses, Father, we ask you to touch them and heal their body. Father, heal marriages, Father. Heal men, Father, and restore men back to you, Lord God, so that we can stand and be the men that you called us to be. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.
Amen, brother. God bless you.
And we get on one accord. Your presence fills the temple. Everything we need and more. Your manifested glory. It is wonderful to see. I seek your face here in this glory.